I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bring it up, Jake. Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, our crew.
We are despicable.
the Power Hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Pro sports bettor Rob Pizzola joins us in 20 minutes. His best bets for week 9 in the NFL, halfway through the regular season, crazy. And our bets for tonight in the world of sports, 40 minutes from now, including thy royal prop king, Femi's Island first touchdown scorers, everything you need to bet and win, we hope, tonight, Thursday Night Football, Ravens at the Miami Dolphins. But joining us right now on the show, as he does each and every Thursday in this spot, and we love having him on the show, it's our good buddy, the Saucy Aussie, NBC Sports betting analyst. What a stand-up this past Sunday on Sunday Night Football. I mean, like, Richard Pryor couldn't have done a better stand-up. This was unbelievable. From our friend Jay Croucher on Twitter at CroucherJD. Buddy, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Nick. I enjoy doing those little stand-ups with Matthew Berry. I now do an NBA version with Carmelo Anthony, who towers over me. No disrespect to Matthew, but it's a different ballgame next to the height of Melo. So looking forward to those coming across your TV screen, Nick.
How's it been working with Carmelo Anthony?
It's good. It's fun. Yeah, Melo's a nice guy. We haven't really gone into serious, deep, and meaningful conversations, the two of us. We haven't talked about our fears as men yet, but I'm sure that is around the corner.
Do you think he would be interested in your high-level breakdown of Sixth Man of the Year in the NBA? And that's it sounds like that's a joke question, but it's really not.
No, I think that's okay. Yeah, people are pretty interested in the awards chats. Kevin O'Connell was very interested as I explained to him my reasoning for backing him to win Coach of the Year last year. So I think people get around the analysis. Everyone likes talking awards. They're a very good source of content for the most part.
Did Kevin O'Connell, did you ask him about why he chose to play Carson Wentz even though he was hurt and, Wentz wanted to play and how insanely stupid that was? No?
No, I didn't retrospectively ask him that in February 2025. But yeah, it hasn't gone great for Kevin O'Connell, arguably since the moment he met me, which was the day after he won Coach of the
Year.
So I'm not sure there's any correlation. I could be the cooler, the Vikings cooler. It hasn't really happened. I'm fascinated to see, though, what J.J. McCarthy looks like this week. Because I'm ready for anything. Ready for very good quarterback, ready for worst quarterback we've ever seen. So there's a lot of range of outcomes for KOC and his man.
All right, I'll phrase the question like this. It could be a side or a total for week 9 in the NFL. It could be something completely different. What is, as of right now, at this exact moment in time, your favorite bet, favorite betting thought? Could be a side or a total, or could be something else?
So my favorite betting thought, and this is just my lean, it's my opinion, I think the Chiefs will beat the Bills this Sunday. I think that
one, you bet it, because I am. I love it.
good. Because they're getting a lot of market respect. The fact that they're 2-point favorites in Buffalo on the short week, but I think it's Bill's team. Notwithstanding them putting a hurting on Carolina, I think there are a lot of chinks in the army here. I think the defense is not particularly good. And Mahomes, even when this Chiefs team hasn't been rolling, even the past 2 years in the playoffs, they've been able to find elite efficiency against this Bills defense. And I think that the sneaky thing with Buffalo is that the one constant that they've had for the past 4 or 5 years has been Josh Allen being an all-world superstar. And while Josh Allen is clearly still excellent, I don't think he's been at the level that he was at last year, where he is taking significantly more sacks than he did last year. He's struggling under pressure more than he ever has, really. And so I think that that's a small sample. It can be noisy. Pressure stats can be noisy, but he doesn't quite look as comfortable. It's made a big red flag the way that they played against Atlanta with what we've seen from Atlanta since that game. I just think the Chiefs are just rolling at the moment. Their defense has climbed into the top 10. The offense going forward, you'd probably project the Chiefs and the Colts as the two best offenses in football. And so I think, too, that Mahomes has proven, as much as this can be a media narrative type of thing, he does raise his game in these big occasions. And some of that is just statistically bears out with the fact that in the playoffs, he scrambles much more than he does in the regular season. He has and this is, I think, going to feel like a playoff game because they lost to Buffalo last year. Allen, reigning MVP, Mahomes MVP favorite this year. I think that Mahomes will bring his playoff type A game into this one because it has serious repercussions for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, this game might be the MVP showcase game. But if you hear everybody else talk about it, Indianapolis has the MVP in Jonathan Taylor. Like, that's been the big move in the market, 14-1 over at BetMGM. Where do you stand on Jonathan Taylor's viability to win this award? I don't believe he can, but I'm curious to get your thoughts because that's what everyone's talking about when they're discussing NFL awards.
Yeah, I mean, largely, at first I was very skeptical and have always been skeptical of running backs. When you think that, you know, Saquon Barkley last year, he could have played week 18 and broken the all-time rushing record on a team that went 14-3 with a better record than Baltimore or Buffalo. And even if he had done that, even if he had broken the record, he still would have finished the distant third in MVP. I think with Taylor, the difference is he has a couple things working in his favor over Saquon. He's in very good position to be the one seed. He is around plus 150 in the market to get the one seed. The Colts have the best offense in football statistically at the moment. They're absolutely destroying teams. And while Saquon had 2K, Jonathan Taylor has a chance to score 30 touchdowns. So I think what will most likely happen is that a quarterback candidate will emerge to beat Jonathan Taylor eventually. And even if the Colts get the one seed, whether it's Mahomes or Allen or May getting a two seed in the AFC, or maybe Jordan Love finishes really hot and the Packers get the one seed in the NFC, I think Taylor, even as a one seed, is likely to lose the award. But I do think, Femi, I think it's material that if you held an MVP vote today, if you held the actual vote today, I'm very confident Jonathan Taylor would win. And if you can win MVP after 8 weeks and he's won all the straw polls and everything, and Adam Schefter and Rich Eisen are saying Jonathan Taylor is clearly the MVP, I think that is material. And so I think that I don't think that he's a great bet at 14-1 by any means, but I do think we have to be live to the possibility that he could actually win the award if the Colts stay on this pace, which they probably won't. But I do think there is a path for him.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
Yeah, they're a 3-point favorite against the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up this Sunday on the road over there at Heinz Field. Anything from the NBA from the first few weeks here, or first week, I should say, in the regular season that you like from an award standpoint? I mean, Wemby, we talked about him last week as the big mover in MVP. Any other award in the association that we're 1 week into the regular season?
Yeah, I think Rookie of the Year is interesting. I think that ultimately it'll probably just be Flag or Edgecombe, which is not controversial to say, given that they consume almost 95% of the equity in the market. But I think that ultimately Flag will win. And I think that he should be a little bit more decisively favored over Edgecombe. And the reason why is that I get that Edgecombe has been super exciting and Flag has kind of struggled a bit, though he had a better game last night. I think that you still have to regress after five games to the kind of generational prospect status that Cooper Flag came into the season with. And also, it's just not going to look this bad the rest of the year. Like, they have enough talent on that team to move things around, to try different things, to get Cooper Flag playing more of his natural position. And so I think ultimately that with Edgecombe, like, Paul George will come back, Jared McCain will come back, Embiid in theory will get better and take more scoring load. And so I think that Edgecombe will recede a little bit, and I think the Flag will get better as the season goes on. So I still think that Flag is not a substantial favorite over Edgecombe, because Edgecombe is good and there are questions about Flag and maybe they don't figure it out in Dallas. But I think that the gap should be bigger between those two than it is at the moment.
You better, you bet on this Thursday. Our guest, Jay Croucher from NBC Sports, on Twitter at CroucherJD. Anything else, Jay? Could be an award, could be something else. Stand out to you betting-wise from the first week plus in the NBA, outside of Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I think that, to me, the most interesting line of the NBA season so far was the fact that the Clippers closed 1.5-point favorites in Golden State. And that kind of continues on the trend from last season, where the Clippers were basically being treated as the second best team in the West. Now, the market can kind of think what it wants, and the Clippers completely collapsed against the Nuggets. They lost that game by 20 to Golden State, where they were 1.5-point favorites. But I do think it speaks to the fact that this team still should be a very good regular season team. And I don't think after five games that they should be plus 280 to win the Pacific Division and that much of an underdog to Golden State, given they just closed favorite in Golden State, and we still have 77 more games for that supremacy to bear out over the course of the season. So I think the Clippers ultimately kind of, you know, destined to fail in the playoffs as they tend to. But I do think in the regular season, with the fact that I thought the two biggest red flags for the Clippers potentially might be that Harden and Kawhi just lose a step and just get old at the same time. I don't think that's the case. Like, Harden still looks like the guy that he was last year to me, still able to beat guys off the dribble. Kawhi looks very spry and athletic, and he's doing Kawhi stuff, getting steals and then dunking in transition at full pace. I think the fact that those two guys look like they do, and that Zubats is still going to be a rock in the middle and continues to be one of the most underrated players in the league. And just with the depth that they have, where, okay, say Bradley Beal just sucks, say they get nothing out of him, doesn't really matter that much. They have so many other guys who can just step in and fill the void. So I think that the Clippers will pile up regular season wins, and I think that their odds to win the division should be much more with Golden State. Not writing the Lakers off, who do have upside, but I think they're third. But I think that the Clippers in particular should be shorter than their current price.
I'm guessing the answer to this question is yes.
Hmm.
Do you have an NHL awards thought for us? And if so, what is it?
Yeah, I do have one. In the Jack Adams award market, I think that there's a couple
of Coach of the Year for people that don't know.
Yeah, for people who aren't religiously living out the Jack Adams night.
That was me just being like, hey, man, like, let me show you how much I know. Yeah, not to be confused with the Lady Bing, which is for sportsmanship. Please continue.
Which you can bet on now, by the way, I believe. I think you can bet on the Lady Bing Award, which is a triumphant moment in U.S. sports betting history to stand alongside the repeal of PASPA in 2018. But in terms of this market, I think that the interesting guy who doesn't even make this graphic is Lindy Ruff in Buffalo, where I think that if the Sabres, who haven't made
now, what year is it? Years, Lindy Ruff is coaching the Sabres? He was going to coach like 25 years ago. He's back.
That's what happens in the NHL. Guys just cycle. Paul Maurice has coached every team in the league and then eventually found his team and started winning titles for fun every year. But Lindy Ruff, I think, is he is kind of, I know it's tough because it didn't go end well for this guy, but he reminds me of Aaron Glenn before the season, where if the Jets had made the playoffs, then there would have just been such a groundswell behind Glenn. Obviously, they didn't make the playoffs. Well, they won't make the playoffs. They're 1-7. But I do think that he will get rough. He will get a substantial bump if the Sabres do get a playoff spot, because of how tortured the franchise has been and the year-on-year point total increase. So he's interesting to me. I think of the more traditional candidates, I think Sheldon Keefe, who's more in the 9-to-1 range, he would be my pick of the more conventional candidate, the guy who goes from 90 to 110 points. So those would be my two looks in that market.
Let's close with this, but asking a bunch of guests on the show this week this question. Mark Schlereth had a funny answer earlier in the week. He responds to people taking their shoes off on airplanes by urinating on the floor of the bathroom so people have to step in his urine that aren't wearing shoes. Outside of sports and sports betting, Jay, what is something that really gets under your skin in your personal life? 60 seconds for the answer.
Yeah, that's a good question. One thing that I really don't understand is why people in America don't use their indicators when they drive. It's just very jarring to me. Everyone in Australia follows the rules. Why are you guys all above the rules? Why don't you use your indicators when you're turning right or left? I don't get it. It's very confusing. It's also dangerous as well if you don't know which direction someone is going.
May I offer an opinion?
Sure. So you can speak on behalf of America.
In the Mark Schlereth interview, I jokingly asked, should the people that wear flip-flops and socks on airplanes, should they be executed? Like, I said that to get a rise out of it, and then he gave us a really good answer. It's funny. I'm happy you laughed, right? I'm actually like, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. The people that drive recklessly and weave in and out of lanes and don't use their directional and drive like that, I actually think they should be killed. I'm not joking.
But yeah, because they may kill other people. The issue is, too, is that if you actually, there's been studies done on this. If you like veer in between lanes and do as much crazy stuff as possible to get where you want to as fast as possible, it takes off such a small amount of time of your journey. It's just not worth the trade-off. It saves you like half a minute or something.
No, it's just not worth it.
So just put your indicators on, drive normally.
And now that I have a child, like I'm actually, and I would be the one, I would like to shoot them in the head.
Okay. All right. I'll let you do the shooting. I'll merely curse from my seat.
Like a jerk and you threaten my daughter's life. Like, I want to kill you. Jay, this was fun. I crouch your Jay.
A pleasure as always, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Pro sports bettor Rob Pozzola joins us on the other side. Best bets for week 9. I promise. I'm not kidding. Try me.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up at Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up at Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.